Hello, hello, welcome. Hey, Pinch Punch first of the month. It is the 1st of November 2024. And welcome to your Friday Night Live. I've got some great stuff for you tonight. Thank you for your tip. I appreciate that. Tips welcome, freedomain.com/donate to help out the show. Tim just finished listening to the Wednesday night show and jumped straight into this. Well, that indicates you were doing something between Wednesday and today, which did not involve listening to my show. So, benedictions, forgiveness. That's fine. It's fine. I don't care. It's fine. All right. So, let's get to questions, comments, issues, and challenges. Welcome to the people on Rumble. Welcome to the people on Locals. Welcome to the people listening later. Thank you for all of your wonderfully kind support. And last but not least, don't forget to check out freedomain.com/donate, as well as freedomain.locals.com, and not only, but also subscribestar.com/freedomain. All right, enough of that business nonsense. While I am waiting and cooking for your questions to arise, I wonder if I can share with you, and I'm not kidding about this, an extremely dangerous idea. Can I share with you an extremely dangerous idea? Something which gooses even me. Without any further ado, I was at a farmer's market. Oh gosh, when was that? Yesterday. Yes, I went to a farmer's market because I am a spread-eagled man whore for sourdough. that is just the way that it is. So every now and then, I will slither off like a junkie, scratching at his bloody arm, to pick me up some bull sack of the Zeus gods of good taste called sourdough. Sourdough is like a dangerous woman. You love it, and it might love you back, or it might give you the kind of aftertaste where you have been rimming Satan's ass in a fart storm. But this was good sourdough, little hint of butter. Oh, so good. So good. So I was at a farmer's market with my wife and my daughter, and we had a lovely time. I like haggling. I like chatting with everyone on the planet, yourselves included. And when I was walking out of the main building, there's a bunch of different buildings and so on, and I was walking out of the main building, and an idea that has struck me since I was a kid, which is dangerous as fuck. I'm not going to kid you about this. It's dangerous as fuck. It hit me. I'm going to share it with you, but don't mess with it. I'm going to share it with you, but do not mess with it. Do not dwell upon it, but it can be healthy. But do not dwell on it. I warn you ahead of time, do not dwell on it. All right. So the idea goes something like this. I was pushing out the doors of the building in order to go into the courtyard, in order to get to the next building. And I was suddenly struck by an idea that I was first struck with at the age of 5 or 6 years old, where I'm like, none of this is real. I know this sounds odd. I'm an empiricist. I believe in objective reality. But none of this is real. See, let me give you an example, right? I'm touching my nose. For those who are just listening, I'm touching my nose. I feel the touch of my finger on my nose. I feel the touch of my nose on my finger. I'm touching my nose. Except I'm not. Because I am not my finger and I am not my nose. I am my brain. And my brain is doing none of these things. My brain is not talking to you. My brain is using giant levers of neurological systems to move my larynx and my tongue and my lips. I am looking at a camera, but I'm not looking at a camera because my brain is as blind as a fucking bat. My brain is as blind as alphabet agencies looking for the origins of COVID. My brain can't see anything. My brain can't touch anything. My brain is like a mute, deaf, blind Helen Keller King trapped in a decaying castle. The only messages from the world are what uncertain courtiers trace in the palm of my hand. I look at a screen. I'm looking at the screen right now to see the questions, but I'm looking at two screens because my brain can't see anything. My brain can only receive and decode the impulses from optic nerve, nervous system, and so on. So there are two screens. My brain is not looking at reality. It is looking at a screen. So if you have a VR helmet, right? So let's say the Quest 3. So the Quest 3 has what's called pass-through, in that you can't see outside, but there are cameras that can see outside and then present you the information on the inside. So you're looking at a screen, not at reality, but you're looking at two screens, because what the Quest 3 is doing in having cameras that then assemble the information for your eyes are doing to your brain. We are always one screen removed. You're looking at a movie, you're looking at two recreations. Let's say you're watching a historical recreation. You are looking at two recreations. One, the recreation of the Gettysburg Address, or Gettysburg Address if you know how to speak English, right? So some actor is recreating it, Daniel Day-Lewis, or the actor is recreating it. Genocidal Lincoln is in a house, and you're looking at a simulation and a recreation. And what you're looking at on the screen is a simulation and a recreation, and the screen is a simulation and a recreation of the actors long dispersed. That's two levels. Three layers is everything you see is a simulation and a recreation, right? I hold up the pen. I feel the pen. But my brain is feeling nothing. My brain is simply interpreting electrical signals from my nervous system and whatever electrical systems from my optic nerve. I can't see anything. I can't hear anything. I can't touch anything. I can't smell anything. I can't taste anything. The tongue and the brain are two separate organs. I know nothing but what I'm informed of by the courtiers of the nervous system. I'm a blind, deaf, dumb, tasteless, smellless, decaying organ trapped in a skull castle and informed of what goes on outside in the world I cannot see, touch, taste, smell, or hear by uncertain courtiers of electricity. I kissed my wife. Nope. Brains cannot kiss. I am my brain, not my lips. Right? You get an organ transplant, you don't change who you are, unless it's a brain transplant. I do not kiss my wife. Now, don't do this mental exercise when you're driving. But you can go down this rabbit hole, and what a rabbit hole it is, and it can make you mad. Because we have to suspend the disbelief and say, I am talking to you. I am looking at a screen. I am this. It's like, nope, you're not. Because you, your brain, and your brain can't do any of that stuff. Any of that stuff. I'm afraid. Is it more your gut that's your second brain? It's your gut that's afraid. It's your fight or flight nervous system. You say, I see. But you don't. So I have had these, they're not even odd thoughts. They're accurate thoughts, but you can't stay there. You can't stay there and say, I'm in a VR skull helmet with information piped into me through the nervous system. You can't stay there because it's too fucking weird. however true it is. It's kind of like, oh, I'm sitting here still. It's like, no, I'm rocketing through the universe at hundreds of thousands of kilometers per second. As the sun goes, the Earth goes around the sun goes around a galaxy, and galaxy spins along. Like, you can't think of yourself. You know those streamers, those little ballet streamers that they have in gymnastics and so on? Well, that's you. You're just streaming along, right? I'm literally like a smear and a smudge rocketing through space and time. No fixed address, only momentum. I mean, when I was a kid, I remember thinking, how the hell do Australians live knowing that they're on the bottom? I mean, I knew enough about gravity that they weren't going to fall off, but it's like, you're on the scrotum and you're looking up. Am I the whole package, the brain, the body, the functions, and everything in between? Well, the ego is the brain. Now, we can drop the brain down to the unconscious, of course. We can drop the brain to some degree down the second gut, like you have a gut, which philosophers have done a very bad job of integrating, right? This sort of Apollonian Dionysian thing. But there's a second brain down in your gut, gut instinct, gut sense, and like you literally have neurons down there, like it's a second brain. But our gut senses tend to be common to all humanity. We know if somehow someone could wire up fantastic eyeballs to everything that you were doing, like your optic nerve, and like this is perfectly to pop them out, pop them in, out vial jelly, in with the out with the old, in with the new, you'd still be the same person. I mean, your vision would be like my vision. It's not bad, right? I mean, I'm pushing 60 and so on, right? It's not bad. But, you know, I do sort of miss the effortless no glasses. Like I was walking the other day in the mist with my glasses on. And it's just like, yee, mist. Ugh, foggy, 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 right? Didn't need to worry about that quite as much when I could just blink and make it go away with my youthful, fresh, brand spanking new eyeballs. But you are your brain. That which is most unique about you, frankly, is in your neofrontal cortex, right? My third brain, says someone, is between my legs. I make the best decisions with that one. No, I'm not talking about a microbrain. Boom. So, you are your brain, and we interact with the world through electrical recreations of that which is. We interact with the world through electrical, biochemical recreations of that which is. Thinking with your balls? Well, that's just nuts. See, you may have thought that was a bad joke, and you'd be right. But if you sit in this perspective for a while, that everything you perceive is an electrical recreation of that which you cannot directly perceive. The brain doesn't send a pseudopod out and feeling things, right? The brain doesn't feel anything directly. In fact, the brain, as far as I understand it, has no nerve receptors at all. You can cut into the brain, feels nothing. Because what's the point? Like, once something's in your brain, there's really not much point. Well, you don't want to get that, you're done, right? There's no point having pain receptors in the brain. Once something's through your skull, you're dead, man. So, this is a true perspective, but you don't want to fuck with it. You can play around with it a little bit, like, oh, that's interesting. Yeah, I am kind of in a skull prison. And then you have to suspend disbelief and deal with reality as reality. Because, of course, your senses and all of the processing and the nerves and the optics, they're all designed to accurately recreate reality so you can throw a spear and get some food. I get all of that, right? It's like, I'm hungry. No, you're not. Brain. It's mostly hunger comes from the belly, right? It comes from the stomach. I'm hungry, so I'm going to eat. The you never touches reality. The decaying king never leaves the skull castle. While it's alive, of course. It can only rely on messengers. So I'm really, really struck by, and you know, as we don't have to get into too many details because we all know what's being talked about, but the amount of truly staggering pathological falsehood leading up to what is the election in 4 days? The US election, and a massively consequential election, no question. No question. Because I really, I can't help but just see this cavalcade of pathological falsehoods coming off the media. Pathological falsehoods coming off the media. I mean, there's one now. What was it? Trump was saying that Liz Cheney's a war hawk. And she'd sing a different tune about wanting to go to war if she was actually in the front lines with people shooting at her. And right, she was, you know, that's a fairly standard idea, right? That it's very easy to go to war, right? Generals sat and the lines on the map moved from side to side, from the old Pink Floyd song from Dark Side of the Moon. The idea that it's chess, right? That it's easy to run a war if you're not out there getting shot. It's a lot easier to want to go to war if you're not getting shot at yourself. And this is why the soldiers generally want peace, but the diplomats and the bankers generally want war. But of course, him saying she'd sing a different tune about war if she was getting shot at. Trump now wants his political opponents assassin. Like, it's just complete, right? And I was really sort of thinking about over the last week, like, okay, but what is the mechanism by which, you know, I think it was CNN, to their credit, they made this claim and then they played the clip, not in its full context, but in its partial context, to the point where you could see that he wasn't talking about shooting someone. He was talking about if they were in as much danger as they want to put the troops in, they would sing a different song. Sure. That's not complicated, right? Joe Rogan stands for nothing, unlike Dr. Phil, who actually endorses Trump. No, that's not true. No, Joe Rogan stands for whatever gets him the 100 mil, right? I mean, I think that's fairly clear. But I mean, he's a comedian and MMA guy, and I mean, what foundational principles is he gonna have? He's about as good at philosophy as I would be at mixed martial arts. So, how is it that people are able to? And this is going to blow your mind, right? How is it that people are able to live in such staggering falsehoods? And I think it's a switch. I think what they do is they make the media their final screen, right? So I'm looking at a screen, right? I'm looking at the screen that I'm running the show off. I'm looking at the screen. That's the second screen. The last screen is what my optic nerves and my like recreation, that's the final screen. The final screen is what directly sends messages to your brain, right? This monitor is not sending directly messages to my brain. The light waves are bouncing off, they're hitting my, or coming out of, hitting my eyeballs, and then my eyeballs, the optic nerve wiring directly into the optic centers of my brain. That's the final screen, is your eyes. Well, you know what I mean, right? So I think the way that you end up believing lies is you make somebody else's propaganda your final screen. So not what did Trump actually say, but what do people say? Trump said, that's your final screen. You have no defenses after that. Right? If I see something that looks impossible with my eyes, I have to accept that I'm seeing it, and either something is really wrong with my optic system and my reality processing equipment, or I'm seeing something that just seems completely bizarre and impossible, right? So When the indigenous population of North America saw the Santa Maria and all of this sailing up, they're like, this can't be possible, but it is. It's real, right? And then the bang sticks and the whatever, right? It doesn't seem to be possible, but it's real. Our space aliens land tomorrow, right? And they walk on air and they can do amazing things. Then we say, well, it seems impossible, but it is, right? You can touch them, talk to them, interact with them, smell them, whatever, right? So they're real things in the real world. So what happens is you take the media screen, and by that I mean social media, TV, radio, newsprint, whatever, right? Kindle. You make that screen your final screen. If you look at it, and people are saying, well, this is what Trump said, and he wants his political opponents shot, right? And you're like, well, that's the final screen. That is like, you've seen it directly yourself. I hope this makes sense. I hope this makes sense. Because what I see, let's say I had seen Trump, like, I don't know, let's, in some alternate universe, I was at a Trump rally, and Trump said what the media is accusing him of saying. Let's say I saw Trump actually say what they're accusing him of saying, then I would say, well, yes, I saw it with my own two eyes. So nobody would be able to convince me otherwise if I saw it with my own two eyes. And let's say I'd recorded it or whatever it is. Like, I saw it with my own two eyes. Trump said these terrible things that they're accusing him of saying. And nobody would be able to tell me, well, that didn't happen, or that's not real, or that's not true. Like, it would be like, no, I was there, right? I mean, I was there, I know. So if people substitute the judgment of others as their final screen, then you can't talk them out of things, because it's like trying to talk someone out of the direct empirical evidence of their own senses. Right? It would be like me, you and I are walking down the street. It's sunny and warm, and I say, it's snowing and cold. Right? You wouldn't even be able to reflect. There would be no conversation between us, because your direct sense evidence and data, your clothes you're wearing, it's sunny and warm. And you know that. It's not just, you're not having some hot flash. It's sunny and warm because it's bright. You can't see your cell phone. You're in shorts. Everyone around you is in shorts. There's no parkas. There's like no snow plows. There's like nobody slipping and sliding. The cars are driving, the convertibles with the roofs are down on the convertibles, sunroofs are open, windows are rolled down, the Beach Boys are playing, Hey Jude goes on and on, ad infinitum, whatever, right? So if you and I walking down Venice Beach, August 40 degree afternoon, the heady salt spray of people working out at the Venice Beach gym. I went there once or twice. I felt very stick-armed. And I turn to you and say, God, it's this freezing, this blizzard, this ice, this snow is freezing. What debate could we have? What debate could we have? And this is why the left and the right can't talk to each other. People have propaganda as their final screen, the one that's directly wired into their brain. If someone says this is what happened, then this is what happened, as surely as their senses dictate information to you in the present. I know I'm sitting down in my studio. If somebody tells me, Steph, you're in orbit around Betelgeuse, I'd be like, no, I'm sitting, right? And to attempt to get me to change my mind about that which my sense data perfectly presents to me would be an assault upon my intelligence, would be an assault upon my capacity to reason and to process. Because if all of my sense evidence says the same thing, and somebody tells me, no, it's the opposite of what you think, they would be saying, I'm insane, I'm psychotic, I'm deluded, I'm whatever, right? It would be an attack upon reality processing itself. Now, every organism which has any conscious capacity will view an attack upon its reality processing as a physical assault that endangers its life. Right? And if somebody tried to gouge your eyes out, that would be a physical assault that would endanger your life. And if somebody was able to successfully convince you that you were insane, psychotic, deluded, fight club, all kinds of schizophrenic nonsense, right? Like there was an old Scrubs episode where, was it Brendan Fraser? Anyway, this guy spent the episode interacting with his brother. It turned out that he was at his brother's funeral, right? It was a fantasy, right? So if somebody is trying to get you to believe the opposite of the direct evidence of your senses, they are claiming that you are deluded and psychotic, and therefore you have no capacity to survive on your own, that you've lost your mind, and you live in a world of waking dreams and delusions, and therefore you are dangerous, you need to be locked up, you can't survive, you can't trust anything about yourself. Like, that's hell, that's a complete nightmare, right? Because the one thing that generally seems to happen is that when you confront, let's say, the hard leftists, right? When you, like, there was this woman who was walking around, I think it was somewhere in California, maybe LA or something like that, Hollywood Boulevard, and she had MAGA shoes on, and this creepy old gray-haired guy was like, I hope you get R-starred, right? Well, why would he be so aggressive if someone disagrees with him? Because, I would assume, I don't know this guy in particular, the mindset as a whole would be that you are telling me that my final screen is insane, deluded, psychotic, fantastic, and I'm insane. That is incredibly volatile. That is incredibly volatile. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, imagine if I were to wake up tomorrow and realize that I was in an asylum, I'd never had a show, and my wife and daughter didn't exist, right? That it was all, like, that would just be crazy, right? That's the Matrix unplugging, right? And well, once you're on the medication, you realize that you're actually a Jamaican nanny and not a bald white philosopher guy. Is it a bad argument to put sense data into question while using sense data to make the argument? But I'm not doing that. That's not what I'm talking about. I mean, of course it is, right? I mean, you have to affirm sense data. But what I'm saying is that if they have propaganda as their final screen, and you're saying there's a truth metric outside your final screen, you're saying you're crazy. You've lost your mind. You're mentally incompetent. You're psychotic. You're deluded, whatever, right? Right, because everything that I'm doing tonight, the microphone, the screen, the right, it's all consistent. I had a lovely evening out with my family yesterday, and then I chatted with my daughter this afternoon, and I chatted with my wife over dinner. I'm doing the show, and it's all consistent and, you know, works and so on. But if somebody were to say that's all deluded, that would be, I would view that as an act of hostility. I would view that if somebody trying to dismantle my brain and have me no longer trust the evidence of my senses, right? I would view that as somebody trying to get me to go mad, not to have me go sane, but to have me go mad. So the reason that people who are propagandized get so aggressive when you say what you think of as the final screen is not the final screen. What you think of as the final screen is not the final screen. They view that as an assault upon their sanity and their capacity for survival and their life as a whole. And this is why they react with rage. I would get very angry at someone who tried to talk me out of accepting the evidence and reality of my final screens, right? My five senses, right? Or you could include balance and hunger or whatever it is, right? The major senses, right? Even people who try to talk me out of my gut sense, I view as dangerous. That doesn't mean my gut sense is always right, but anyone who says, well, you can't trust your gut, it's like, well, I just assume that they're trying to disarm my instincts for self-protection so they can exploit me. I view it as an act of hostility to fuck with my final screen. I view it as an act of attempted cognitive assassination to fuck with my final screen. Which is why the people who fuck with the evidence of the senses, I consider enemies in general. All right, I just want to make sure because there's one more step to this. I want to make sure that we're on the same page. I'm going to say why, because I follow it, but I want to make sure that because it's a complex argument, and I want to make sure that we're all on the same general consensus. I'm not saying, do you agree with it 100%, but does the argument sort of follow so far? I'll check over on Rumble as well. Jay Dyer, I debated that guy many years ago, so you can look that up. So it all makes sense, right? Makes sense? Okay, so then the question is, why would people end up with other people's perspective as their final screen? Not reality, but other people's perspective as their final screen. Why would they end up like that? Monsieur Durbin, thank you. Why would people end up with the perspective that other people's opinions are the final screen? Secondary gains? Yes. But that's a bit of a generic answer because they find some benefit in some way. Well, yeah, that by definition, right? But why would people end up with that perspective? To survive, yes. It means that they had to comply with anti-empirical demands from other people in order to survive. You had to believe in the tribal delusions. You had to believe in the godhood of the king. You had to believe in the perfect authority of the witch doctor. You had to believe that your father was wise and noble and your mother was a saint, right? Your final screen was pleasing abusers. Yeah, the parable of the invisible apple. That's right. FDR 83, something like that. A while ago. Survival meant conforming with the madness of others. My daughter made me laugh so hard today, I almost ruptured myself. I was talking about how some people take their parents seriously and some people don't. And I was saying, when I was a little kid, my brother and I, my mom, you know, would say she hated us, right? And I never took that seriously. Right. And she said, oh yeah, I can see that. You know, hey, mom, you hate me? Well, that sounds like a you problem. And I don't know why that just hit me. She's very funny. I can't deliver it in the way that she does, but that sounds like a you problem. It was just so, not arrogant exactly, but so confident. Oh, you hate me? Well, it sounds like a you problem. I just thought that was hilarious. And true, it was a my mom problem. because I've done a lot of wrestling lately with people about their parents neglected them, and then they thought that they were empty and worthless and boring, right? Whereas, you know, my mom hated me, but I just thought, well, that means you're crazy, right? And of course, as an outdoor kid, right? As an outdoor kid, I'm constantly having to deal with reality, right? And because I hung around with my brother's friends a lot of times who were older, they were able to do more things than I was able to do. I remember at the age of 5 or so, climbing up a tree way higher than I wanted just to be brave. And then I literally couldn't get any higher, and I could not at all figure out how to get down. And I was like 30 feet, 40 feet off the ground. It was really nerve-wracking, right? But you can't, like, that's your final screen. You can't, if someone else says, oh, just jump, like, you can't make that person your final screen, because you're actually 30 or 40 feet in the air. And if you jump, you're going to break your leg or die. My brother and I, well, we weren't exactly addicts for television, but when my mother would go out, she wouldn't want us watching TV late at night, so she'd go out on some date, and she'd lock the TV in her room, but we could actually, second or third story, we would get out and crawl along the window ledge and climb in and watch TV. I remember watching a boxing match, and we climbed back out, and like, you know, 20, 30 feet off the ground, it was completely retarded. And my mom would come home, and she'd check the temperature of the TV set. So we would get something cold from the fridge and put it on top of the TV and then wipe it dry. This is why rules are pointless. You have to get people enrolled. So we dealt with actual factual reality. Playing soccer, right? Playing rounders, or later baseball, and played a lot. I played tennis from the age of 5 onwards. And there is no second screen, right? Tennis is, did you hit the ball? Did it stay in there, right? Maybe there's a little argument about the edge cases or whatever. I see the ball way out, right? Or you serve into the net, that's a failure of a serve. So for me, there's the war, right? And we all have this war as a kid. I think it's less reality-based now, because kids are just screens, 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 opinions, 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 parental pleasure. Appeasing teachers, right? Because when we're kids, we have to please our parents and we have to please our teachers. Now, when I was a kid, mom was crazy, but the teachers were somewhat sane. Now, mom's gone and the teachers are insane and corrupt beyond words, right? I mean, the best way to corrupt a nation is to shorten the time horizons of children. Well, you haven't got life to live, kids. Ooh, I don't know, global warming, man. Ooh. Trump's going to end the world. Nuclear war. Live for today. Don't defer gratification. May not be a tomorrow. And the eschatology, the end of the world stuff with the more fundamentalist Christians and other groups. Yeah, I don't plan, kid. What's the point of going to ask a girl out? I mean, that's just going to lead to dating, getting engaged, getting married, having kids, and then boom, you're underwater or Satan strides the earth. It's all over. The Democrats who regularly call other people conspiracy theorists put out an ad about how, well, we had a lot of great friends and pretty parties, and then we didn't go out to vote because, you know, the system's rigged, right? And we didn't go out to vote, and then Trump got elected, and then after he died, J.D. Vance became a dictator for 30 years and set up concentration camps for homeless people, and then Peter Thiel and Elon Musk uploaded themselves to live forever as immortal AI gods. And it's like, Jesus, man. Yes, that's right. Conspiracy theories are a challenge, aren't they? Oh, my gosh. Yes, because we all know that super party people are all on the right. So when we're a kid, we have to please people in order to survive. And we also have to work within reality, but we start by having to please people, right? Because kids can't get their sustenance from reality. They have to get their sustenance from their parents. So you have to please your parents. Your parents have to please their bosses, to please the gods, have to please the witch doctors, have to please the local paramilitary warlord assholes. And so we all start off having to please people. And hopefully we please people by pleasing reality, right? But People don't see much of reality anymore. Neighborhood play is gone. Spontaneous, self-organized play is gone. It's screens, 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 propaganda, propaganda, propaganda. And everybody's been wrapped up in the Matrix. So much though I had trouble at times with having to do a lot of hard physical labor, I remember being up at a friend's landlord's cottage one weekend, and we had to dig a new outhouse, and it was like bug infested, 40 degrees, crazy muggy, and it was just like, oh God, I was tempted to even drink from the lake, which, you know, in some places is okay. But that physical labor is like, well, that's my last screen. Whereas if you can lie and manipulate, think of a con man, like a confidence trickster, right? I mean, Elizabeth Holmes wasn't out there robbing people blind with a gun, right? She was just out there massaging male egos with her youthful quasi-prettiness and everybody's fantasy that, the next entrepreneurial female is exactly the same as Steve Jobs because she wears black turtlenecks, copy-paste. So she stole secondhand through creating a screen of absolutely impossible technological pro. I mean, there were employees of Theranos were actually out on Reddit years before, right? So, I mean, it's one of the reasons why it's tricky having women in investing, especially young, relatively pretty women, because men lose their fucking brains around this stuff. It's one of the reasons why male-only spaces are important so we can get some work done with our tits on the brain. So I think that we have a split. And in general, it's a bit of a male-female split. Lots of overlap, of course, but it's a bit of a male-female split. Because men in general get their resources from reality, and therefore we can't have the final screen be anything other than actual empirical sense data reality. Like, we can't fuck with that, which is why I'm saying it's an interesting idea, but you can't fuck with it too much because you've got to get out there and hunt the boar and protect yourself from the lions and, right, build the shelters. And like, we can't have a second screen. Sorry, we can't have a final screen interfere with sense data. But women in general evolve to get their resources not from reality directly, as a supplement for sure, but not from reality directly. But women evolved to get their resources from the approval of others. You had to have a man fall in love with you and commit to you. You have to have the help of other women to raise your kids. So it's all about consensus and tribalism. Your primary focus is not on objective, material, empirical reality. Your final screen is the approval of others. Now, you say, yes, but don't men work together for the hunt and in war? Yes, but we work together not to manipulate opinions, but to catch game, dodge spears, and defend against predators and people. It's all empirical. Final screen is sense data, not final screen is other people's opinions. Now, the final screen in the mind is not sense data. The final screen is reason. Because sense data says you're on a flat world, right? But reason, we know we're on a sphere, right? So reason, science, empiricism, this is the final rule, right? There's the final screen, and then there's the final rule. The final screen is the last sense data that drills directly into your brain, and the final rule is reason. Reason. And reason arises from the consistency of sense data. So when you say to someone whose final screen is other people's opinions and they have no reason, you are attempting to gouge out what they perceive of as their organs of senses and sanity. You're attempting to gouge out, remove, eviscerate, destroy their organs of sense, sanity, and reality, which is why they get so insanely angry. They get as angry as you would if somebody was working really hard to convince you that you were psychotic, deranged, deluded, and insane when you were in fact sane, healthy, and rational. You would view that as an assault upon you. So when you see the level of violence and aggression, right, coming out of the left, right, the assassinations, the riots, the takeovers of entire neighborhoods, the terrorism, the vandalism, the threats, it's because if you say to someone, your final screen is not the final screen, you're saying everything you base your sense of reality on is insane, manipulated, corrupt, and immoral. Well, they fight back. They fight back. Because you are, was this a great line from Risky Business? In a recession, don't ever fuck with that other man's income. So, a lot of people make their money from manipulation, right? So there's great profit in substituting your words for other people's final screen. There's great profit in it. So imagine if a woman is about to marry a man who's worth $10 million, but she's cheated on him, but he doesn't know. So she's just about to get half of the $10 million, right? Because she's going to get pregnant, and then she's going to have another kid, and then if he leaves her, she's going to get alimony, child support, half his shit, or whatever, right? So she's about to get $5 million and a totally comfortable life. And she knows you're about to go and tell this guy she cheated on him. She's going to do almost anything to keep you from doing that, right? Because her income relies on lies. Her income relies on the lies, the lie of being faithful. If a woman has a guy's kid and he feels obligated to marry her, and you are in certain knowledge that the kid is not the guy's, right? So a woman has a boyfriend, Bob, but she has sex with Jim. It's Jim's kid. You know this for a fact for some reason. Jim's out of the picture. This woman wants to marry Bob and be secure. And she says to Bob, Bob, this is your kid. And you know it's not. If you go to this woman and you say, you got to tell him or I'm going to tell him. Like, it's not his kid, right? He's got to make, right? She wants the security and the $1 million worth of income she'll get over his lifetime. $1 million hangs on this lie. I mean, we can do this all day, right? Like, but there's tons and tons of examples of this kind of stuff, right? $1 million lands on this lie. $1 million depends on this lie. So you are trying to, in a sense, talk someone out of giving up $1 million. Right? You're trying to talk someone out of giving up $1 million. Hey, that's a winning lottery ticket, but you know, you really shouldn't cash it in because it's just going to raise your taxes and it's debt to the next generation. Like, fuck you, I'm going to cash the $1 million. So when people profit from falsehoods, especially off the power and economic redistribution capacity of the state, then lies are predators that strip them of resources, right? You, by telling the truth to people who live on lies, you are doing the equivalent of setting fire to a farmer's fields and house. In a recession, don't ever fuck with a man's income. So they view you as destroying their source of life. So they react with great viciousness. Now, particularly if somebody has a social circle that's based upon shared delusions, right? If your entire social circle is based on Orange Man bad or whatever, or it could be Kamala bad or whatever, right? So if your entire social circle is based upon shared delusions, then if you start telling the truth, you lose all of your investment in those social circles because they're all based upon shared delusions. The truth destroys the reputation of lies. And the lies take it very personally. They view it as defamation. So you tell someone the truth and it's going to threaten all their relationships. They don't want to admit that to themselves, that all of their relationships are based on lies. I mean, I've expressed sympathy for parents based upon the sort of modern idea of you don't have to spend time with abusive people. Because parents, a lot of parents treated their kids like shit. Because they're like, well, we don't have to treat them well because they're just going to be obligated to take care of us in our old age no matter how we treat them. Well, it was like, it's like men who treated their wives like shit before divorce became easy. Like in Canada, up until the 1960s, you needed an act of parliament to get a divorce, right? So a lot of husbands treated their wives like shit because the wives couldn't get divorced, right? So when things go from coercive to voluntary, it's really tough for people who simply assumed that voluntarism wasn't going to be an issue. Voluntarism wasn't going to be an issue. So when you say to people, you don't have to spend time with abusive parents, then abusive parents get really angry because you're fucking with their source of income and perceived comfort in their old age. My kids owe me 20 years of wiping my ass. How dare you interfere with that, you asshole? And I completely understand it. I completely understand it. But, I mean, too bad, right? Because we gotta have progress. We gotta have progress. What is the heroine's journey? So very, very briefly, throughout most of human history, and certainly throughout most of human storytelling and mythology, the highest capacity that women could achieve was the additional production of male brains, was to produce more male brains and more male bodies, right? That was the highest value that women could provide. The central purpose of women throughout most of human artistic history was the production of more male brains. Chris says, I've tried to talk people out of believing everything the media presents and experienced severe blowback. Yes, for sure. For sure. All right. So hopefully that makes sense. But look for this. Do people have a standard? Like, because I can't help but think like this, the fine people hoax, right? That Trump referred to neo-Nazis in Charlottesville as very fine people. I mean, it's false. It's been debunked. It's not true. I mean, so why do people believe it? Because they're told that it's true and that's their final screen. And after that, they have no pushback or defense. Jay Dyer said that atheists cannot claim to have universals, but only have particulars. My question to you is, where do atheists get universals from? Where do atheists get universals from? Well, it's not a... compared to what? It's not a universal to say something is true because an invisible incorporeal being that you cannot communicate with directly said so by getting someone 3,000 years ago to write something down in ancient Aramaic. That's not a universal. A universal is scientific laws. Universals are the laws of logic. and the laws of empiricism and the need for reproducibility in scientific experiments, the need for rational consistency in theories before any applicability to reality. There are tons of universals you get from empiricism and from reason. But I don't think that the argument can rationally be that Ghost said something to someone else, that's my universal. Come on, man. Come on. My invisible friend said something, that's my universal. Did he say it to you? No. Well, maybe. That was kind of a hint. I had a feeling. That's my universal. Sorry. The unverifiable internal brain mutterings of invisible friends is not a universal. Come on, man.
It's not a universal.
2 and 2 make 4, that's a universal. Right? Gases expand when heated and contract, right? The water has 3 states. Inverse square law. First and second law, thermodynamics, they're all universals. Right? You cannot use the evidence of the senses to overthrow the evidence of the senses. Logical consistency, rationality, these are all universals. And they're not because Ghost said so. Somewhere else, sometime else. Some guy said he had an invisible friend who said, that's not a universal. That's just a shared delusion. So Jay Dyer is frankly full of shit, and he knows better. He knows better. Like, that's just lazy. That's just really lazy and really, really bad. Let me find his, maybe I'll remaster that interview. Maybe. Let's see here. Dyer. Dyer maker. All right. Yes. What is truth? FDR 4550. February 13th, 2020. So that is the philosopher Jay Dyer. Philosophers Jay Dyer and Stefan Molyneux go head-to-head in a powerful debate on the most basic questions of philosophy and life. What is truth? So I'll put the link in here. You can check it out. All right. Staff, I would assume if children are raised peacefully, religion would go the way of the dinosaurs. But modern scientism is a step back from Christianity. It is far more primitive than Christianity, and you can do a search for scientism. I've made this case a number of times, so I won't get into it here in particular, but the modern white-clad mystical religion practitioners, you have to accept what they say, and you don't have any access to their data in any comprehensible fashion. With God, at least you can pray for yourself and get your own conscience, but you can't do that with science. So scientism is a more primitive mystery religion than anything Christianity has been involved in almost since its inception. Religiosity is genetic. Absolutely. The beauty and love of universals is genetic. I think that's true. And we certainly know that there are certain electrical areas of the brain that can be stimulated and you will get religious visions. Sure. Yeah, absolutely. It's like a sort of chaos storm, right? Is his AMA this chat? Yeah, you can ask here. Steph, why did you step away from the spicier subjects? Why have you decided not to return to X? You were reaching people like never before. I'm curious. A fine, fine question, and I am not going to answer it here because I've answered it about conservatively 3,500 times. Just do a search for Twitter at fdrpodcast.com, and you know, you have to wait for the world to catch up. If you just keep further ahead, eventually they'll just throw you off a cliff, right? Eventually, they will just throw you off a cliff. So, yeah, I'm enjoying my life. I'm really having a great time doing the show. I'm enjoying working in fiction again. I'm enjoying the call-ins. And don't forget, if you want to call in, I've got some spots next week. You can send me a message, freedomain.com/colin, freedomain.com/colin, public or private. Just let me know. I'm enjoying the call-ins, and I sort of feel like I'm finally, like after like 20 years, I've done a bunch lately, and we have some spots open. So I feel like I can't even remember the last time that that's happened, but if you want it, here it is. Come and get it, but you get a better hurry because it's going fast. All right. Government says, give me power and I will make people be good, but give me credit. Sound familiar? Yeah, yeah. Do, 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 do. All right. Any other last questions, comments, issues, challenge, problems, donations, support, whatever is on your mind? Are you guys hoping, are you looking forward for the election being being done? Are you looking forward to the Grim Baton Death March being in the rearview or no? Also, nice to see Bitcoin up. Just remember. Do you remember? Do you remember? Don't forget that there's no way it keeps going straight up, right? Because you've got big financial institutions that are your ETFs. So they're all going to take their profits, right? Buy and hold is a private investor strategy. Buy and sell is a mainstream strategy for investors. So people, it's going to go up, they're going to take their profits. It's going to go up, it's going to take their profits, right? Hey, Steph, what do you think of the warrior, magician, lover, and king archetypes of mature masculinity originally based on Carl Jung's work? I was very into Carl Jung when I was younger, and I know that sounds like, well, I've outgrown. I mean, I don't mean it that way. I'm just saying I was huge. I've read a huge amount of books. I read his biography and so on. And it's just, you know, this Mandela shit and all of that. Like, it's nice and it's a collective unconscious and so on. It's just, he just went off the fucking deep end with ayahuasca mysticism. Oh, thank you. I appreciate that, Calvin. Yeah, so he just went off the rails with ayahuasca mysticism, so. Steph, what are your thoughts on ear surgery? Because they stick out. Listen, I think it's, if you have a little cosmetic, thank you for the tip. If you have a little cosmetic thing, I don't know about like big freaky stuff, but if you have a little cosmetic, like if your ears are out like this and you feel really self-conscious about it, I mean, getting the pin back, I assume it's not a big deal. You know, I happen to have the kind of head that I think looks fine bald, but if I had some weird misshapen head, maybe I would have gone in for hair transplants like Elon Musk or something like that, or, you know, it's fine. You know, it's not a big deal. It's not going to fix your life, but if it helps get a couple of hiccups out of the way, that's fine. Or if you want to be able to hear, I mean, I have these ridiculously flat ears, right? I'm like basically like a narwhal. But if you want to be able to hear when it's windy, yeah, maybe get them pinned back a little. So things will be better under Trump versus Harris. Oh, yeah, there's no question. And here's a wild thing to me. It's a wild thing to me that the Republicans are really going to only, they're really going to only win when they put their personal relationships on the line. Somebody says, I feel like the conversation has moved in your direction. Peaceful parenting is more common, race realism, distrust of media, etc. The seeds you dropped have rippled. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, for sure. For sure. But the problem is that your reputation gets completely nuked, which, you know, is not the easiest thing in the world as a whole. Not the most difficult thing, of course. It's not the easiest thing. And it's worth it for me. But your reputation gets nuked, and but it never gets restored, right? That's the problem, right? I mean, and until it's two generations down the road, right? I don't know if you answered my question, as I didn't realize I was behind on the stream. Yeah, I'm not sure what to do with that. Just repost your question. What about women getting Botox? I don't think that's so valid, because wrinkles are not a flaw. Like, you could say that having your ears stick out like crazy. Well, you know, you got to be honest about it, though, because the woman's going to show up genetically, right? So if your ears stick out like crazy, you could argue that, you know, if there's breeze, you can't hear that well, and it's kind of inconvenient, and your ears get colder. Like, there could be some practical reasons. Wrinkles are not a defect, right? Even hair, you could argue, well, you know, if it's windy, you're colder. And if you have hair, you don't have to sunscreen your head or wear a cap all the time. So there's some practicalities around having hair. But wrinkles are not, that's just vanity, in my view. You know, like if you have some really crazy nose, right? But if your nose is just, oh, I want a little ski bump, like it's not a weird nose or has some issues or whatever it is, then I don't know. Yeah, archetypes are fine, but where's the morality, right? Where does Jung talk about morality? Yes, so it is true. Look, obviously I'll be vindicated in the long run, blah, 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 blah. That's fine. I'll be vindicated in the long run. And I did my 40 years of being right, right? I did my 40 years of being right. You know, what did I say was going to happen with crime rates, with mass immigration, blah, 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 blah. Like, it's all done and dusted. It's all old hat. And by the time people catch up, I'm on 10,000 new topics. Like, honestly, going back into those topics would feel like going back to grade 5. Been there, done that. Like, why would I want to go back, right? All right. Yeah, I haven't done those archetypes in particular, but. Oh, what do you think of the hero's journey? Yeah, I did answer that. Big guys get everyone in Bitcoin to panic and sell off the coins so they can be bought cheap. And then when you realize that there was no reason to sell and want to buy them back, they pocket the change. Yes, for sure. For sure. Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, I assume it's a fairly backdoor coordinated thing where when they want to buy Bitcoin, they say, Bitcoin's going to crash. Oh, it's hit its peak. Here's all of these charts. It's gonna go down. And then they're like, oh no, it's going to go down. And then you sell it, they want to buy it. And then when they want to sell it, they say, oh man, Bitcoin's going to go to the moon. It's going to go to the roof. It's going to, right? So don't listen. Nobody knows the price of Bitcoin, dear God alive. Nobody knows what the price of Bitcoin is going to be 5 minutes, 5 years, 50 years. Nobody. 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 It's way too many variables. And it's also anything that's involved with free will cannot be accurately predicted. But I will say, yeah, so with regards to the like, because the Republicans take it as a sort of point of pride, you know, so look, I have friends who have differing political views than I do. And the leftists, they'll toast friendships based on politics. They absolutely will, as a whole. And the right is all like, oh no, but it's just a difference. Like, no, it's not a difference of opinion. I mean, if you look at the history of leftism, I mean, just straight up communism, which is, you know, what a lot of them fundamentally want with equality of outcome, oh, it's 100 million dead. It's 100 million dead. And, you know, how many imprisoned and tortured and, right? Hundreds of millions. Why the fuck anyone would have someone like that in their life? It's incomprehensible to me. Whoever takes their ideas more seriously wins. That's it. Whoever takes their ideas more seriously wins. And people on the, like people who are into freedom, who have totalitarians in their lives, are suicidal enablers. Liberty-minded folks who accept totalitarian people into their lives and support them and accept them and chat with them and try to reason with them and so on. Jesus. I mean, I don't understand. I don't understand. Is it just like, well, I'm going to get a couple of pat myself on the back brownie points and feel like a better person? It's like, you know, the purpose of morality is to not feel good. The purpose of morality is not to feel like a better person. The purpose of morality is to secure long-term happiness and survival by opposing those who advocate the use of violence. I don't understand. I mean, I've made the case countless times. So I called it the against me argument. I made the case almost 20 years ago. It is a form of spiritual suicide to welcome into your life and break bread with people who want you thrown in jail for disagreeing with them. Well, I mean, would you, this is somewhat related, would you stay in a relationship with someone, like you love this girl and you've been dating for a while, and but you're not happy, and you say, oh, you know, I'm not happy, I don't know. And she's like, so go, leave, I don't care, leave. Would you fight to stay? Yeah, go. Go. If you're not happy, whatever. If you're not happy, leave. Fine. I don't even want to hear about it. Just go. You're free. Would you fight to stay in that relationship? I wouldn't. You know, I'm not enjoying this. There's something not right. Oh, go. Just leave. Just leave. Fuck. Go. Go. I'll help you pack. would you work to stay in that? See, I had a relationship with the world where I was unhappy. I switched from politics. People dropped me like a hot potato. And then when I got deplatformed, almost nobody followed me to like one website over. Onewebsiteover.com. Like almost nobody followed me over. So I'm like, I'm not happy. Things aren't working. Okay, go, go, fine, go. I'll help you pack. Off you go. It's like, well, that's fine. I mean, it's a relief, right? I mean, it's painful, right? I get that, but isn't it kind of a relief? Isn't it kind of a relief that you don't have to bother fighting for that kind of relationship? Because the person has made themselves very clear, right? And all the people who I worked with and some of the people whose careers I got started and gave them a platform, and it's not a big self-sacrifice or anything. They were just like, oh, Steph's gone. Yeah, he's gone. Steph? Oh, fuck that guy. Was he even here? Ah, who cares, right? More audience for me. Okay, but that's great. That's great. It's very liberating, right? The world has, I've been in a conversation with the world for 40 years, and the world speaks, I listen. I speak, the world listens sometimes, but sometimes the world speaks, and I listen. All right, any other last questions, comments, issues, challenges, problems? Do give me your problems, he knows, yeah, no. All right, going once, going twice, let me know. I mean, if you're in a relationship and you say you're not happy, and it's, oh man, tell me, what can I do to make it better? Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. I guess I've been distracted. I really should have been keeping track of this. Come over, let's have dinner. We'll talk it through, you know. Well, that would be like, you know, if when I got deplatformed and stuff, people are like, oh man, you got to come on my show. You got to tell me your side. Nope. People are just like, nope. It's like it was never here. Go. God, don't bother me. And that's fine. That's fine. I mean, I'm just pointing it out. It's years ago now. It's like, it's over 4 years ago now. I'm happier and better. And of course, things have become more polarized. And so there's even more aggression and even less comprehension, right? All right. So let's see here. Oh, yeah, billions died under capitalism. Yeah, right. All right. All right. Let me just check here. I think we're done. I appreciate you guys dropping by tonight. Thank you so much. I will see you Sunday. And I think, hopefully next weekend we'll do a meetup. That will be something for donors. And never have a girl move in with you because you're rewarding her with the outcome of a lifestyle of marriage without and before the actual commitment of marriage. Oh yeah, I don't live together. I mean, that's a no-brainer. I just do the studies. People who live together break up much more often. So, all right. Thank you for your patience this evening. If you're listening later, it was a bit of a light donation night, which is not the end of the world, but I just thought I'd mention it. So if you're listening later, freedomain.com/donate. If you appreciate these kinds of insights, thank you so much, my friends. Have yourself a glorious, wonderful, beautiful evening. And love you guys for your support, and we'll see you soon.